Welcome to the ICFM Leadership Podcast, where we focus on empowering, equipping, and leading. We pray this message will bless and inspire you.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Rory Sindergrund from Austin, Minnesota. I'm an area director for the North Central region. I want to thank you for tuning in today, and I want to thank all of our ICFM leadership for allowing me the privilege of sharing with you on today's podcast. Today, I want to talk to you about inherent leadership. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you once again for this opportunity to share with your children. Lord, we just ask for a spirit of wisdom and revelation to rest upon us today as we seek your face. I thank you, Lord, for placing your word in my mouth, and I ask that I'm able to speak forth your word intelligently and with your anointing. I thank you for removing burdens, destroying yokes, and forming faith in our hearts. Father, I just ask that you confirm your word by stretching forth your holy hand to heal today as you equip us as leaders in your body to minister to your children. In Jesus' name, amen. In discussing leadership or inherent leadership, the first thing we need to realize is that leaders are born. It is who you are. If you would, please turn with me over to Genesis chapter 1, and we'll start reading in verse 26. We're going to start in the very beginning. Amen. In verse 26, we read, "And God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion." Then in verse 27, we read, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." Notice that man, that you and I, were created in the very image and likeness of God. God is the leader. He is a leader, and he created all of his children in his image, in his likeness. No one was created to be a slave. We were all created to be leaders. And that's what you and I need to discover. And that's what we need to help the rest of the body of Christ to discover and embrace as well. Turn with me over to Jeremiah chapter 1. And we'll begin reading in verse 5. This is one of the foundational scriptures that God has given me for the ministry he's called me to. And it is one of the main scripture verses that helped me identify who I was. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, we read this, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Now notice the word belly here. The word belly here should have been translated heart. It is the Hebrew word beten. And all throughout scripture, beten is commonly used as belly or womb, but it also has been translated within or heart. The actual word means to be hollow, to be a cavity. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 17 through 18, we read this, "Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and incline thine heart unto my knowledge." The word heart there was translated again from the Hebrew word beten. In verse 18, he says, "For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them, my words, within thee." Again, there's that word within. It was translated from the Hebrew word beten. So in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, when the Lord says, "Before I formed thee in the belly," it should have been translated heart. It would begin to give us a greater understanding of what he was saying. Many English translations give us the idea that he's talking about forming us naturally. And yes, the scriptures do reveal that God knits us together in our mother's womb. But in this verse, he is trying to reveal to us an eternal truth. He says, "Before I formed thee in the heart, I knew thee." Again, your heart is the seat of your mental faculties. It is your soul. It is the seat of thoughts, where your thoughts begin. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Now the word brokenhearted there means, it's two words. Broken means crushed, bruised. But the word hearted was translated from the Greek word cardia. And cardia is never translated spirit. In fact, the Greek word used for spirit, whether it's referring to your spirit, the Holy Spirit, or even a demonic spirit, like the spirit of infirmity that we find in Luke chapter 13, pneuma is always used, never cardia. So Jesus said he came to heal the brokenhearted. The word cardia there means the core thoughts, the seat of thoughts and perceptions and appetites. It's where your thoughts begin. So when the Father, in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 here, was speaking to Jeremiah, he was saying, before I formed you in your heart, not your mother's womb here. He was referring to his heart. He says, before I formed you in your heart, I knew you. Then he goes into the natural birth of Jeremiah and says, before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and I ordained you as a prophet unto the nations. This is so very important that we understand this. Because the thing is that God is saying, before I formed you. You see, he's relating the truth that he's the one that forms us in our heart. The word form there means to fashion, to mold, or to frame. So he says he's the one that fashions us. He's the one that molds us. Where? In our heart. He doesn't mold our spirit. He molds and frames and fashions our heart. Our heart needs to be molded to something. Our heart needs to be framed to something. It needs to be formed to something. And the very thing that God forms our heart to is you. Look at what he said there. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Look at how many times he uses the word you or refers to you. He says, before I formed you in the heart, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. You see, you were known by the Father before you were being molded or framed to your heart. Let's take a look at this from another angle. Turn with me to Romans chapter, 12, verse 1. In fact, we'll just start in verse 2. Look at what he says here. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, the word conformed here is a Greek word, which means obviously to conform, but also to fashion, to conform to a pattern or to fashion according to. It's revealing and relating the same principle that God was revealing to Jeremiah chapter 1. And except it's talking about being formed or fashioned to something else rather than you. He says, be not conformed or fashioned to this world. Now, this phrase, this world, is always referring to a governmental system of thought and belief that contradicts God's thoughts and beliefs. In fact, this world is referring to a governmental system of thought, belief, and behavior that is in contradiction to God's governmental system of thought, belief, and behavior. 1 John 5:4 tells us, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. That thought, belief, and behavior. And this is the victory or the experience of overcoming the world, even our faith. Now, what is faith? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So faith is God's system. And then we have the kingdom of darkness or the world system that is trying to always fashion us to it or conform itself to it. So we see this in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that we are instructed not to be fashioned to this world, but to be transformed. How? By the renewing of our mind. Now, the word mind there obviously means the way that you think and understand or perceive and feel. He's talking about the renewal of your heart, how you think. So your heart is the battlefield. Your mind, yes, is the battlefield. We should not be identifying and thinking in line with the world. Instead, we are to be thinking in line with, yes, God's word, but now get a hold of this, in line with who you really are. Turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. You know, and I see this a lot in the world today and in the body of Christ, in the name of trying to reach the world, many churches and many ministries begin to take on ideas and thoughts of our culture. And it's in, you know, the idea and in the spirit of trying to reach them. But what takes place is we begin to allow ourselves to be conformed to this world in trying to reach the world, like, you know, when in Rome, be a Roman. And God is actually revealing to us that we should not be conforming to that, because the world is always going to be telling you what you can and cannot do. And that's not what we should be allowing to frame or fashion our hearts. Instead, we should be framing and fashioning our hearts to who we truly are. In Ephesians chapter 1, let's begin reading in verse 3. We read this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Notice, he's already blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Not some, every. Now watch this in verse 4. "According as he has chosen us in him before," there's that word before again, "before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Here's the thing. God knew you before the foundation of the world. God knew you before he began to fashion you and frame you in your heart. You were born in his image, in his likeness. God is a spirit. So who we are is the leadership spirit, because we're made in his image and his likeness. We are a leadership spirit. We are a leader. How we think, though, determines the spirit of our leadership. Who we are is the ability of leadership. How we think is the mentality of leadership. So here's the challenge. The challenge is to cross over into expressing who we are. In order to express who we need to allow God to fashion our hearts to who you really are. To be a better leader, we have to stop trying to conform our ideas and thoughts of being an effective leader to the world's way of thinking and believing and acting. And there's a lot of good books out there. There's a lot of good principles out there that we can derive truth from. But if we are going to be the leader that God has ordained us to be, that God has created us to be, and I'm going to get into ordination here in a little bit, but to be the leader that God has created us to be before the foundation of the world, we need to allow him to fashion our heart to who we are in him, not to the world's standards of leadership. See, the world tells us what we can't do. And once we're convinced of what we can't do, we settle for less. We need to start throwing off those shackles and disbelieve their assessment. Our ability comes from God. It's who we are, and it's immeasurable. So to exercise leadership, we must begin believing in our heart that we are inherently a leader. We need to connect our true self with who we are in our heart. Notice again in verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 1, "according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." We were already chosen. He knew us. that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now watch this, verse 5, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You have been predestined to be the leader God designed you and created you to be. So as we go back to Jeremiah chapter 1 once again, and we'll look at verse 5, Jeremiah chapter 1, notice he says, before I formed you, you are the leader. You are a spirit in the heart. I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. You are perfect. You are holy. You are without blame. I remember when I was going through an intense persecution time here in Austin, Minnesota, and I was suffering. And I was getting ready, like many of you do, before your services. And I got to the church early, and I was really struggling with thoughts of condemnation. And, you know, we were surrounded on all sides. In fact, when I walked into the sanctuary in downtown Austin, where we were, it was our second building, and I just saw a vision of being surrounded on all sides, like the nation of Israel was during the time of the prophet. And I went into the sanctuary, and I sat in the front row, and I began to think, maybe I just made a mistake. Maybe I missed it. Maybe I'm not called to the ministry. Maybe this was just wishful thinking. And as I sat there, I cried out to the Lord. And the Lord took me back over to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, and he revealed to me that word. That word jumped out in my spirit. He said, Rory, look at what I said. I said, before I formed you in the heart, I knew you. And before you came forth out of your mother's womb, I sanctified you, I separated you, and I ordained you. As, and in Jeremiah's case, he was a prophet. But God revealed to me, I'm the one that ordained you. And you probably heard this before, no man can ordain you. We simply, in ICFM, we recognize your ordination. But what does that word ordain mean? It means placed. God is the one that placed me in the body of Christ as a leader. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18, we see God's the one that sets every member in the body of Christ as it pleases him. And we know that without faith, it's impossible to please him. So when we begin to think in our heart, in line with what God has said, we begin to believe what God has said, faith is formed, and it pleases him. So the thing that I saw that day, and it really encouraged me, it brought me up out of that oppression of the enemy, that it didn't matter what mistakes I've made or didn't make. It didn't matter what I did right or didn't do right. What mattered was I was already placed in the body before I was even born. I was already ordained. God's the one that ordained me. He's the one that placed me as a leader in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. You see, leadership needs to be discovered. You and I need to discover who we are. Leadership is not about cloning someone to yourself. I was not trying to be like somebody else. I need to be who I am. And as a leader, that's what you and I need to do with others. As I begin to close here, I want us to go over to John chapter 1. I had so much more I wanted to share, but isn't that the way it is with all of us? In John chapter 1, and we'll look at something that is a lot of times overlooked, but in John chapter 1 in verse 18, we see this powerful truth realized. John chapter 1, verse 18, and this is where I want to leave you with this encouragement. It says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. It says, no man. Man, a lot of times, refers to natural man. So no natural man, carnally thinking man, can see God at any time. But the only begotten Son, a son or a daughter of God, can, that's what's inferred, or does, which is in the bosom of the Father. Now we see here that Jesus dwelt in the very bosom, the very intimate presence of his Father. And as a result of that, he declared him. So what we see in this passage of Scripture is that we, as we draw close to the Father, he begins to fashion or form us, who we are before the foundation of the world, who he knew us to be in our heart. We begin to know him first by dwelling in that intimate presence of him. But as we begin to know him, we begin to discover who we are. It's only through drawing close to the Father and drawing close to his word that he is able to fashion us and frame us and mold us in our heart to be who he created and designed us to be, that leader. And as we find out who he is, we start to find out who we are. And the first thing that you and I want to do, hallelujah, is to begin to declare him to others. You see, leadership is not about cloning people to you. It's about releasing the leader that is already within them. Our goal as leaders should be to release people from the bondage of slavery into the freedom of being the leader they are. Leaders help others discover themselves. Leaders help others deploy their own abilities. And so I just want to encourage you to discover for yourself afresh and anew who you are as a leader in the body of Christ. Discover your purpose. Discover your vision. Your purpose is the source of your vision. And your vision should be the image of your purpose. And once you have those two, begin to share that with everyone you come in contact with. Well, thank you for being with me today. I trust this has been a blessing to you. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for tuning in to the podcast. ICFM is an international fellowship of faith churches and ministries. If you would like more information on our fellowship and what it has to offer, then please visit us online at icfm.org. You can also take advantage of our resources on our ICFM app available on App Store, Google Play, Amazon, and Roku. We pray God's blessings over you as you continue to lead forward.